So this morning we come into a new year. We gradually step into the unknown of 2021. Many of us are not sad to see 2020 as part of our past. I thought there might be an amen to that. A most unusual and for many of us a very difficult year. But as we come into 2021, we feel that there is a freshness, a newness, a clean slate that is before us, opportunities, challenges, new things. And yet, we also carry baggage, if you will, with us from 2020. Grief and sadness and anger and hurt feelings and so much else that comes with us. And we find ourselves trying to leave one year and move into a new year with expectations and hope for what God has planned for us. This morning, it is Epiphany Sunday, and our focus has been on the Magi, as we have already heard. Our text for this morning is not part, or our sermon this morning is not part of a sermon series, and it's not actually about the Magi themselves, but our text for this morning helps us to focus on an important lesson that I believe we learn from those whom we call Magi. It's a lesson about the importance of faith. More than 2,000 years before Jesus lived, a new religion emerged on this planet. It began in what we know today as the country of Iran. And the new human religion was called Zoroastrianism. Now, this new faith, this early religion, taught many important theological concepts that continue till today. It taught about the battle of good and evil. It talked about charity as a way to live one's life and one's faith. It described the process of how one should be faithful in living his or her life for God. But the reason I mentioned Zoroastrianism this morning is because of the name of the priest, the religious leaders of this religious movement. Their name may be familiar to you. It may be a word you've heard before. In fact, you've heard it several times in our service already. The name of the priest and the religious leaders of this new religion were called Magi. This morning is Epiphany Sunday. This morning we think about the journey and the faith of those individuals whom we refer to as Magi, wise individuals from the East. We read about them early in our service, but as I read about them and thought about them in the last couple of weeks, thinking about this sermon, I was reminded of a quote from Paul David Tripp. The quote says, "Familiarity often means that what is very important to us may no longer exercise important influence over us the way it should." In other words, the more familiar we are with something, sometimes it loses its significance in our lives. And I wonder, is that possible with the Magi? These individuals who are often overlooked in the Christmas story. Our text for this morning, as I mentioned, is not about the Magi, but as you hear these words, think about the importance of the faith that the Magi demonstrated as we read about them earlier. Our text for today is the Gospel of Luke. We're reading chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. Jesus is talking with his disciples. Listen to the conversation that goes between them. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 5. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink, and after that you may eat and drink? Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. May God bless the reading of this word today. Well, like many of the teachings of Jesus, our text for today is no exception. These are difficult words. If we try to think about putting into practice what Jesus is teaching here, it becomes difficult for us to think about what we actually need to do in our lives. Let's think about the context for these words. Just earlier, just the preceding verses in chapter 17, Jesus said this to his disciples. If your brother or sister sins, then rebuke that person. Fine. If they repent, then forgive them. Okay. Even if the person sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, you still need to forgive that person. That's the context for our lesson for this morning. Now, as the disciples heard Jesus talking about forgiveness, they shook their heads in disbelief, recognizing, Jesus, this is the most difficult thing you are asking us to do. To forgive someone one time is hard enough. Seven times in one day? How can we ever do that? So they say, Jesus, if you really want us to forgive someone seven times in one day, then increase our faith. In other words, what you're asking is very difficult of us. If you really want us to do it, here's what we need. We need you to increase our faith. Obviously, the disciples knew that there was no way they were able or capable of doing what Jesus was teaching about forgiveness. So they asked Jesus for greater faith, more faith, increased faith, with the hope that if they have more faith, they will be able to do and accomplish what Jesus has asked and says God expects of them. Jesus wanted his disciples to love and to forgive as God loves and forgives. He wanted them to have a sense of duty to God and to one another. But the disciples were not sure that they had it in them to do what Jesus was asking. You see, what's happening here is there's a tug of war between Jesus and the disciples. Both are on each side of the rope and they're both pulling. Jesus is pulling, saying, you need to love and to forgive the way God loves and forgives. And the disciples are on the other side saying, if you want us to do that, then you need to increase our faith. That's the only way we can do it. And right there in the midst of this tug of war, Jesus does what he so often does in his life and ministry, he tells a story. Just before the story, he says, listen, if you have the faith the size of a tiny little mustard seed, the smallest seed you can imagine, if you have that much faith, Jesus says, then let me tell you, you can do what seems impossible. If you just have that much faith, Jesus says, faith as tiny as a little mustard seed, you can do in your life things that seem to be completely impossible. That's all you need, just a little bit of faith. And then comes the story. He says, think about it. If you had a person working for you, let's say that the person was plowing a field, or let's say the person was watching your sheep, would you say to the worker, come on in, take a break from your work, sit down, let's have something to eat? Well, if he's working for you, Jesus says, then might you say something like this? Listen, when you finish plowing the field, when you finish watching the sheep, then come in, prepare a meal, and after I finish eating the food, then you may also eat as well. Now, if that happens, would you thank the worker for doing what the person was supposed to do? And that's it. That's the story. Now, when we first hear that story, it seems kind of strange, don't you think? At first glance, it doesn't seem to have anything whatsoever to do with what Jesus and the disciples were talking about with forgiveness and love and trying to be like God and increasing our faith. It doesn't seem to be related, but when we dig a little deeper, we find this illustration is really demonstrating a story about the demands of obedience and faith. To really understand this story, ask yourself this question: do you thank someone simply because the person did what was expected? Do you thank someone because someone did for you what was expected of them? You might. If you ask someone to help you with a task or with a responsibility or with a project, and they do so, they have done what is expected, but you might thank them out of politeness. It's nice to thank someone in that way, but that's not really the point Jesus is making. He's not talking about being polite. He's not talking about being nice. Jesus is talking about obedience. The point Jesus makes here is that the person in his example is simply doing what he has been asked to do. So here's the point. In the same way, Jesus says, we should accept the faith that God gives to us and then do what God expects. Isn't that what the Magi did? They saw a star. They felt led to follow that star. So they did. They did not say, well, you know, we feel like we're supposed to follow that star, but gosh, that would mean we have to leave everything where we are and leave our families and our jobs and travel for a long way. You know, God, if you want us to do that, give us more faith and then we'll follow the star. No, that's not what they said. Listen to Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. The Magi asked, where is the one who has been crowned king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. They felt led to follow the star, so they did. Here we are at the beginning of a new year, as we mentioned. We hope and pray that 2021 will be much better than 2020 in many, many ways. But we also realize that we have some choices to make. We have some decisions that lie before us. We have some responsibilities in the life of faith. We have some options as to which way we will go in this life and what we will choose to do. We get to choose and decide what we will do with this life and how we will live in this new year. In many ways, as we said, the slate is wiped clean and we have a new start. What decisions do you need to make regarding your faith and your spiritual life as we move into 2021? As we think about that question and reflect upon this text, let's be honest. Obedience in matters of life and faith and even relationships is challenging, demanding, even for the most faithful Christians. It's not always easy to do what God asks or expects of us. It's not always easy to make the right decisions. Often we feel like Paul in Romans chapter 7, where he says, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I keep finding myself doing those things that I know I shouldn't be doing. It's hard to make the right decisions all the time, but in our text and in this example, here's what Jesus wants us to know. The more obedient we are to Christ and his teachings, the more like Jesus we become. Think about that. Jesus was asking the disciples to become more like him, to forgive and to love as God does. They say, increase our faith and then we'll try. Jesus says, you already have enough faith. Use what God has given you. The specific teaching was about forgiveness. It's a harsh and demanding, difficult thing to consider. Some of us in this new year may have people we need to forgive. To think about forgiving someone one time is hard enough. Seven times, challenging. The disciples knew that, but think about what they asked Jesus. They didn't say, "Jesus, give us more love, and then we'll be more forgiving." They didn't say, "Give us more tolerance, and we'll be more forgiving." They didn't say, "Give us a better understanding of other people, and then we will be more forgiving." Any of those things would have helped them be more forgiving, but those aren't the things they asked for. They said, "Increase our faith. Give us more faith." They wanted Jesus to give them more faith so that then they could be more forgiving. You see, the focus is on forgiveness, but the broader issue here is faith. Jesus often connected forgiveness and faith. In another place in the Gospels, Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 25, Jesus said to his disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, 'Go and throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his or her heart, but believes what they pray, it will happen. It will be done for that person. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have already received it, and it will be yours." All about faith. And then he says, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive that person, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive your sins." Again, the example becomes forgiveness, but the broader issue here is an issue of faith. The disciples say, "Jesus, increase our faith." But think about that. In order to even make that statement, you have to have some faith to say, "Increase our faith." If you have no faith, you can't ask for your faith to be increased. You have to start with some faith in order to even pray that prayer. The truth is that it is only by faith that we are able to ask for more faith. Maybe that's where you are on this New Year's Epiphany Sunday. As we stand here today looking toward the unknown of a new year, hoping, praying that it will be a better year, maybe you find yourself praying to God, "God, in 2021, increase my faith. Give me more faith. Build my faith. Grow my faith." Maybe you know there are changes that God wants in your life. Maybe you know there are tasks and responsibilities God is calling you to. Maybe you know there are some things that God wants you to do in this coming year. And in order to be that person that you know God wants you to be in 2021, maybe you find yourself praying that prayer, "God, increase my faith. Grow my faith. Give me more faith." That's what we often feel we need to do when we're asked to do what seems to be impossible, like the disciples in our text. Well, if that's where you are this morning, then hear the good news. What is very clear in this passage is that God gives us enough faith to be obedient and faithful to His call in our lives. God gives us the faith we need to do and to be who God wants us to be. Think again about the example of the Magi. They used the faith they were given in order to follow the star and to find Jesus. Think about what Jesus is saying in this example. "You have faith already," he says to the disciples. "The only question is how you put that faith to use in your life." A few years ago, I read an interview with the winner of a gold medal in the Olympics. The interview was asking the athlete about her training. And the interviewer was saying, "What did it take for you to get your body in tip-top shape in order to win the gold medal? What did you have to do in order to train and get ready? And her answer was so simple but so perfect. She said, you know, to win the gold medal and to prepare my body, I really only had to do two things. One, I had to train when I felt like it. And two, I had to train when I didn't feel like it. How applicable is that to our spiritual lives? Commitment, obedience, and loyalty. What we find in this passage is the life that we want to live is found in being faithful and obedient to what God expects of us. Doing what God calls us to do, whether we feel like it or not, is the key to abundant life. So often we find ourselves doing what we feel like doing. We find ourselves doing those things that we think will make us feel good, and we only focus on the things that we feel like doing in our lives, and then we wonder why life isn't working out the way we want it to. We wonder why we don't experience what God wants for us. For the Christian, Jesus teaches abundant life is found in faithful obedience to God. We find the life we want when we are faithful to God's word and God's will. Isn't that exactly what we learn from the Magi? We find and discover what God wants for us when we use the faith we're given and faithfully follow where God wants us to go. It's not about what we feel like doing. No, the life we want in this new year is found in faithful obedience. See, that's why Jesus has this little dialogue back and forth in his story. Suppose you have a servant who's plowing a field or looking for the sheep. He says, would you say to that servant, come into the field and have something to eat? The rhetorical response there is, no, you wouldn't say that. So then he says, wouldn't you say something like this? Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and then after I finish eating and drinking, then you may eat and drink as well. The rhetorical answer here is yes, that's what I would say. And finally, Jesus says, would you then thank the servant because he simply did what he was asked to do? And the implied answer is no. Why? It's not a matter of politeness. It's not a matter of being nice. What Jesus is teaching is faithful obedience. We have only done what God expects of us. And when we do what God expects of us, the reward is abundant life. Throughout this example, Jesus drove home this point. Forgiveness, believing, and serving God are really nothing extraordinary. In other words, faith in and of itself is not something extraordinary. All of these things are simply what God expects from us. This is the way believers are supposed to live. We are to be forgiving people. We are to be believing people. We are to be serving people. We are to be faithful and obedient people. These things and more are our faithful obedience to God. An old Boy Scout book shares a story about the importance of doing what is expected. The story goes that one of two brothers in the same company fighting together in France, one of the brothers fell by a German bullet. The brother who escaped, when he made it past the line and was in safety, he asked permission of his officer to go back out into the field and to bring his brother in. But the officer said, he's surely dead. And there's no point in risking your life just to go out there and to try to bring his body back. But after further pleading, the officer finally consented. Just as the soldier picked his brother up and carried him back past the line of safety on his shoulders, the wounded brother died. There, you see, said the officer. I told you, you risked your life for nothing. No, replied the brother. I did what was expected of me, and I have my reward. When I crept up to him out in the fields, and when I picked him up and put him on my shoulders, he said to me, brother, I knew you would come. I knew you would come. Somebody expects something fine and noble and unselfish of each one of us in this new year. God expects us to be faithful, to do what God has called us to do, to take the faith we have been given and to use it because we are obedient with the reward of abundant life. Here's the message I find in this story. The life we want to live in 2021, the life we want to live every year, is found in our faithful obedience to God. So this morning, instead of praying for more faith, instead of praying that somehow God might increase our faith and then we will do what God wants us to do, instead, as we start this new year, let us listen to what God says to us. Take the faith I have given you. Know and believe that it is enough, and use that faith to live for me every day of this new year. And then you will receive abundant life. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, there are so many uncertainties as we begin this new year of life. We are grateful for your blessings in the past as you have carried us through the good and the bad. And we stand this morning before the unknown, not asking that you would increase our faith, but asking that you would give us courage and strength to use the faith you have given to us, so that we might be the people you have called us to be and to experience life the way you want us to experience it. So, Lord, lead us and guide us in these ways and find us faithful to your calling. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.